All right, hello, fellow founding members. I'm back. It's me, Joshua, here. And we're here for another call. Brad's with me as well. Brad, welcome to the call.
Hey guys, hey Josh.
Hey, everything's
Sorry,
okay.
no Marnie this week, guys. I know that was a treat to have a girl's voice on the phone.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, you could try to be a little prettier for these phone calls, Josh.
I did my makeup. I hope that's
Oh,
good enough.
well,
So,
that's all any man can ask of.
oh, goodness. Yeah, welcome back. And today we're going to be covering a really awesome topic, and I really can't wait to get into it. So I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. There are a couple of things I wanted to cover before we get into our main topic too. So, first, of course, as always, if you have any questions, you can press star two. And that will raise your hand if you're on the phone. If you're not calling on the phone and you're listening on the web, you can actually go ahead and put your questions that you have right in that questions box there. You'll see on the page. If you do have a question, I recommend that you go ahead and get those questions in sooner rather than later, because today's going to be kind of one of those calls that gets away from us. I have a feeling, because we're going to be talking about some stuff that is kind of engaging and usually pretty interesting to talk about. So we're going to be covering a couple of things. One thing we're going to be going over today is how to adjust your energy level when you walk up to a group of people that you've never talked to before. So you walk up to a group of girls, especially if you're going to be doing this at nighttime, how to adjust your energy level to be at the perfect sort of mode or mood when you walk up, so that women are more receptive to you and don't want to reject you outright. If you come up with the wrong energy level, it can make it seem like A, you're either on crack, or B, you just did heroin. I guess it depends on which drug it is you've done. Either you're like totally a downer and everyone's bummed out when you walk up and that brings everybody down because your energy level is too low, or you come across looking like you're super nervous by talking too much and being too loud. So, I wanted to go ahead and go over exactly how to gauge that and what to do. Also, recently we had a question about spring break, and I wanted to talk a little bit about spring break and mindset for spring break. I think it might actually be over now. I'm not really sure if it is or not, but
Some schools are starting right now.
oh, they are? Okay, cool. So this maybe won't be relevant to guys. If it's not, then bear with me anyway. It's probably pretty good to know. I strongly recommend that anybody, even if you're not experiencing spring break in school because you're no longer in school or you haven't gotten spring break for whatever reason, I strongly recommend that you consider taking a trip down where all the action is happening at least once, because it is interesting. It's like showing up to a porn convention or something. It's like nothing but like girls gone wild everywhere. So it can be a really interesting experience for you, and a really good place for you to try out all your new techniques and skills that you've learned from Tao and other various sources, and can work out really, really well for you. If you do decide to do that, then let us know, because we're thinking about doing a live spring break on location boot camp one spring. I'm guessing it'll have to be next spring. But it could be really, really exciting and really fun to do. So let us know if you are going to be going to spring break and where you're going and everything. If you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear that. But for now, though, that's what we're going to be covering. Again, if you do have any questions, go ahead and get those in early. We already have one waiting for us here, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that question before we dive into today's topics. And that question, and by the way, guys, of course, anytime throughout the week, as soon as you get a notification saying that the founding members call is on and you know when it is, you can swing up to the link that Brad will send you via email, and he will automatically, you can automatically click on that link and automatically ask your questions right there for the coming week's call. Even if you're not going to make it, you can still ask your questions ahead of time, and we can get to that, as soon as we get in. I like to get as many questions as I can in, and that way we clear the path for later on whenever we're pretty much deep in a conversation about the topic. So the first question today, and I think this is a pretty good one. And I'm gonna cover it now. It's from Scott in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's my city.
That's where you're from?
No, that's not where I'm from, but I went to school there and I love the city. It's amazing.
Okay. I've been there before too. But I lived in Ann Arbor for a while, not Grand Rapids, but it's okay. I'm not gonna judge. No problem, Scott. So Scott says, it's an off topic question. Oh wait, actually Scott's is off topic. Let me go back to David's. David's is first and his is sort of on topic here, so I want to go to that one first. Is it possible, this is David from Tucson, that is it possible to apply attraction, rapport, and seduction with girls that are already your friends? This is probably the most, or variation of the most common question that I get, which is how do I get out of the friend zone when I'm stuck in the friend zone? There's nothing worse than being stuck in the friend zone, I'll tell you that. It basically, just for guys who aren't really familiar with the concept, I'm not sure if any guys would be not familiar with it, but if just in case, basically it's whenever you meet a woman and it happens for a number of reasons, but the most common reason is because you skip the attraction phase and you jump straight into rapport. And all of a sudden, instead of being, you know, boyfriend material, you're now just a friend to her and you can't really escape it. It's like a black hole of sexual frustration for you. And that's sort of being friend zoned. You know, you like, oh, okay, I think we should just be friends. And then you never really get to anywhere with her. And then you end up being what's called an orbiter. An orbiter is somebody who basically hangs around this girl, goes out whenever she's out, you know, like holds her hair back when she drinks too much. And
shoulder to cry on.
Shoulder to cry on, right? Whenever her boyfriend's being mean, you're like, he's a jerk. And basically, you're just a gay guy. That's not getting as much action as a regular gay guy would be. You know, you're just a sexually frustrated gay guy in her eyes. And women will go through great lengths to believe and to buy into the idea that guys and girls can be friends, and they, you know, she thinks that you're just her friend and that's it. In fact, there was a study recently, and there was a survey, and I can't remember for the life of me how, you know, who did this, and I never really can remember that stuff, but just know that it was some study I had heard of from one of my other associates here, another dating coach, and he said they were fascinated by this. They asked surveyed a group of women and a group of men, and they asked the same question to both, and they asked the women and the men, can guys and girls be just friends? And like 80% or something of the women said yes, and 0% of the men said yes. Zero. None of them.
Wow.
So no guys thought that guys and girls could just be friends. I guess there's single women and single men, you know. Otherwise, that wouldn't make any sense. But so just to kind of give you an idea of how different we approach this topic, you are obviously thinking, if you're a friend with a girl, obviously thinking that you're going to get closer to her and at some point she's going to realize, oh my God, I forgot this guy has a penis and I could sit on it. You know, women don't think that. Women are thinking, oh wow, this guy's just my friend. Just like, you know, she's my friend, you know, there's like this older guy is my friend and whatever. You know, women view friendship differently than men do. So, that in mind, yes, you can is the short answer. Yes, you can. It is possible to apply attraction, rapport, and seduction with girls that you're already friends with. But, the difference here is that you have to get out of the friend zone before you can do this. You can't just walk up to her and start bantering and then expect that to be okay, you know, because what goes on during the attraction, rapport, and seduction process, especially during the rapport process, which you likely jumped straight to and didn't go too deep into attraction, is you build a certain amount of trust. But besides trust, even more importantly, you sort of tell people who you are as a person. And this happens with everybody. It's called framing, right? So we enter a frame. We show somebody who we are, right? So we're kind of all, as humans, looking for something called consistency in the people that we're around. If there's no consistency, we get freaked out and we don't want to be around somebody. But if there is consistency, we feel comfortable. We feel like this person's trustworthy. We feel like we can hang out with them, right? And they become part of our social circle sometimes. So consistency basically means that we are the same over time. We're the same person. we meet someone in the beginning, and then we nail them in our heads. Like, okay, this person is this kind of person, right? And then over time, that holds true, right? That thought process or idea that they are a certain kind of person sort of stays the same, right? So, David, in your situation, you've already got this girl, introduced this girl to you, and she already has an idea of who you are. Now, this is a big problem for you, because as soon as you start acting outside of that, just even a little bit outside of that, meaning that you are, you know, you start to be a little flirty, you start to act more confident, anything, she's going to give you a negative response. So you can't just have, like, immediately go, okay, well, now I'm an attractive guy, right? Here I am doing all these things that are attractive. That's not going to work. So instead, you have to come up with a plan, basically, to essentially, the easiest way to put this is to back out of the friend zone, go back to neutral town where you're not her friend anymore, and then re-enter the interaction and start from scratch with the proper guidelines and go through the stages in order and sit in them the proper amount of time. What I would do first, though, David, is I would practice this process on other women and make sure you got it down before you bring it into this relationship, your friendship that you have with this girl. Because if you really want this girl and you are talking to other chicks and it's not working, and then you try it on her and you do all this work and you get back to zero land where you're back in neutral town, and you can then start from scratch and go back with her, and you screw it up, you're going to actually ruin your interaction. So you don't want to do that. Instead, you want to back out and go back in, with the right mindset. So let me tell you a little about that mindset and what to do. There's something called the Diamond Principle. And if you've never heard of this concept before, you really want to write it down, the Diamond Principle. And the Diamond Principle is the concept that we only accept change in other people, meaning we only accept that someone else in our lives has changed as a person if two things, usually one of two things, but if both are there, that's even better, are present. And they are time and pressure. So that's how a diamond's made, and that's why it's called the Diamond Principle. The Diamond Principle states that if time, a lot of time has gone by in an interaction from the last time that you interacted with somebody until now, and you see that person, you are much, much more likely to accept that they have changed as a person. And the reason why it's important to have her think that you changed as a person is because she needs to think that she overlooked something in you, right? That she realizes that you're different than she thought you were in a good way, right? She thought that you were some kind of like friend that she has, like a guy without a penis, basically. And now she's noticing that you're actually an attractive and sexually desirable man. The other concept is pressure. Pressure is the thought or the idea that the person that you're talking to hasn't talked to me. I've talked to you recently, but between the last time that you've interacted with him and now, they've gone through a tremendous amount of pressure, usually emotional or philosophical pressure. It makes them question things. So if you have that down and you can come up with one of those different tactics, preferably you have both. So that would mean that you would kind of stop talking to her for a little while. That would be time, right? Even if it's just a week, you need to wean yourself away from talking to her so much. The best way to do that I found is to ask yourself how often it is you do talk to her. And by talk to her, I don't just mean on the phone. I mean count every form of communication, like either you Facebook messaged her, you tagged her in a photo, you liked a photo of hers online, right? You emailed her, you texted her, you called her, you saw her in person, you visited her at work, whatever it is, right? Each one of those is a point of communication. If you look at right now and you're wondering to yourself, okay, how often do I communicate with this girl? And the answer is every day. You are so deep in, you can't just stop, right? You have to wean yourself off, right? Or maybe even twice a day at times. And especially if you're the one initiating all those conversations and all those communications, that really means that you're in pretty deep. That's about as far as you go, you know. In fact, if you're initiating all those communications and she is, and you're communicating with her daily, or more than once a day, then you are just moments away from being rejected as a friend altogether, actually. And she'll start to talk about boyfriends and stuff with you or trying to get you to back off. So that's a really bad place to be. So then if that is you, let me tell you how to wean yourself off of that. The best way to do it is to cut your communication with her in half, right? That just means that if it's every day, go tomorrow without doing anything, right? Don't do anything. Don't talk to her once. Don't text her, nothing. If she asks you something or, you know, reaches out to you, let's say she texts you, then you want to respond back maybe hours after she texts, unless it's an urgent text, like she needs to know something immediately, like, I don't know, there's an emergency. I can't think of anything right now, but I don't want to have a call in a couple of weeks or something and have someone be like, I did what you said, and she was in a car accident. You know, it's okay. I don't want that to happen, obviously, but if it's not an emergency and it probably won't be, then just wait. And if she doesn't get a hold of you, then wait an entire day before you have any form of communication. Now, don't this is very, very important. When you do communicate with her after that, say that you don't go tomorrow, but in the next day you communicate with her, you do not want to do anything out of the ordinary. Don't write her a long email to make up for the day before. Don't tell her why you didn't talk to her. None of that crap. Just show up and be like, ha ha. That's what you'll do. You'll write ha ha on her Facebook wall, whatever it is, right? Something small. And that will allow you to sort of ping her, but not sort of go cold turkey. Because whenever you go cold turkey, it's not that you're going to be freaked out. It's that, which you will be, but besides that, it's that she'll start to think something weird is going on. And she can't think something weird's going on, you know? She'll think that she hurt your feelings, and that will change the way she behaves around you. That'll make her feel bad, right? And that's why she put you in the friend zone anyway, because she can't tell you that she doesn't like you, right? She's not attracted to you. And she can't tell you that because she's upset. She doesn't know how to do it. She's scared, right? So instead of doing that, instead of like risking that she's going to tell you that, or risking that she's going to feel that way, and you have to sort of disappear from her life in a way that she doesn't really notice in the beginning. I know it sounds really strange and counterintuitive, but it's really, really important. So once you do that and you go every other day for a couple of weeks, then cut it back in half again. So maybe twice, three times max a week, right? So three times a week, you do one form of communication, right? Either text or something real quick. Text as little as possible, you know, if you can. And then Facebook maybe once or twice a week. And then do that for a week. And then the week after that, I want you to write her once. And that's it. And then I want you to go an entire week with nothing. Okay? And this is very important. So once you go that first week with no communication with her, you're going to kind of have the jitters a little bit. You're going to be like, oh, I got to get a hold of her. And you're going to want to go back. It's kind of like trying to quit cigarettes or something. You're going to like just rationalize any way possible to get a hold of her. Oh my God, I found her sock in my car. I should let her know I have her sock. No, just fuck it. Don't say that. Like, hang on to her sock. Don't sleep with it or anything, but you know, hang on to it and just put it somewhere. You'll tell her later, you know, because this is all part of your plan. This is very, very important. Once you get to that place, I want you to begin what's called recon work. So you're going to start doing research and getting into a new social circle that she's never heard of before. This could mean that you go to a bar whenever it's not busy and you start chatting up the bartender and being friends with them, whatever, get to know them by name, and then meet all the waitresses there and try to find a place where you can understand the environment really well and you know it really well, but she has no idea that you know these people, right? So you have a whole new circle of friends whenever she comes back into your life. So whenever you do that, let's say that takes a week to do, you can show up a few times at a bar, show up early and before it gets busy and chat with the bartender before they get like freaked out or anything. Or if you go to a restaurant or something, show up when it's not crazy busy and just flirt with the waitresses and stuff. And I used to go to coffee shops all the time and do this. And, you know, one thing you can do at a coffee shop is when you're ordering your drink, or when you're talking to the person behind the counter in general, they ask you how you're doing and you curse when you answer in a positive way. For example, if you say something like, I'm fucking great. And then they're like, wow, okay, well, that's fantastic. What that'll do is that'll start to break the ice. You can use a lot of the techniques that I've used I've taught during the Founding Members Club call on how to pattern interrupt. So you can go back to that, learn how to pattern interrupt a little bit, start sort of a new social circle of friends, and then whenever you ping her back, you want to go, hey, and then you want to use a re-engagement text or some kind of re-engagement concept, which a really good text to give somebody to send somebody that you haven't talked to in a while is, holy crap, I just saw your twin. Her name is Jamie, right? Whatever. So that's it. You don't have to say anything else. If you want to really like take a risk, you can be like, her name's Jamie, but she's a Virgo, right? So it makes it sound like you actually had a conversation with this girl. So what this does is it says to the girl who's sort of in your friend zone that I just met a girl who looks exactly like you. So if you think she's sexy, that means she's exactly the same level as you, right? And I had a conversation with her. Such a conversation that I understand her sign and her name, right? So this is like a totally subtle re-engagement text, but it gets really, really good responses. You may want to send something like that or, you know, whatever, something like that, but nothing long, really short. You're gonna stay away from anything that is really long and like deep and meaningful and all that crap. Don't do that yet. It's not time for that yet. And then next time you invite her out, if you can, ask her to meet. Tell her you're going to be somewhere and ask her to meet up if she can for a drink with some friends. And when she comes out, be at that place that where you know everybody. And this will start the path down. That will effectively dig you out of the friend zone. That's like my 1-2 punch for the friend zone destruction there. And the way that you really use that is you get out of the friend zone, and then as soon as you're out and she's there with you around a bunch of new people, then you essentially just go from start to finish, go right down the attraction, the map of interaction, go through attraction, rapport, seduction, the whole way down, piece by piece in order, and it will work. And that's a guarantee. As long as she's not in a relationship at that point, that should work. Sometimes if she is, it'll still work, but you're a jerk if you're doing that. I've been a jerk before, but I'm not saying I'm judging you. I'm just saying that you're a jerk. That's a fact. So that's it. That's what I would do. I know it's kind of a long, drawn-out kind of answer, but anyone who's ever been in the friend zone is going to want to reference that as soon as they realize that they are. And if you didn't take very good notes, you're going to want to re-listen to this, at least the beginning part of this call, to make sure you get that information down, because that is a very, very important process. I've done it before. I've done it several times, actually. But once you do it and you get out of the friend zone, if you get back in the friend zone again, then you're a dumbass. You're basically not following the rules. If you get back in the friend zone again, you are sacrificing and not following the map of interaction. You're sacrificing your standards, your integrity with yourself, and she's starting to think that you are just a friend of hers again, and that can't happen. So make sure that you don't fall back into it again. And of course, I have a extra bonus report in the members area called Escaping the Friend Zone. And if you haven't read that yet, you want to check that out. That'll give you some extra tips on how to avoid getting into it in the first place as well. So that's that. Now I'm going to go ahead and go into a little bit of spring break stuff, because that's fun and easy to say. It's like one of the easiest things really to talk about. Really, the most important thing for spring break is your mindset that you're using going in. A lot of guys go into spring break thinking, all right, and they start chasing TNA. Like they're just looking for scantily dressed women that they can be all sexy on. The problem is, every guy is doing that, and those women know that, and that's why they're dressing like that. They're not doing it because they're planning on sleeping with anybody that night. They're actually not planning on sleeping with anybody. They just get sexual validation when they go out and they get, you know, dressed up and stuff. So what you want to do is you want to hit, basically, focus on all the women who are not like that. Those are women that you're going to actually have to talk to. Now, they're going to be in a different mindset. They're going to be on vacation, which means that they're going to be willing to hook up with random guys. They're going to be looking to have fun, and that's it. They're not really looking for much more. And you have to be okay with that. You meet a really awesome girl, you have to be okay with her fucking leaving, you know? You have to think about women, not woman, here whenever you go on spring break. You want to hook up with several women. You don't want to just find one woman that you like and then just shack up with her the whole time. And that'll kind of ruin her spring break and it'll ruin yours too. So don't do it. You know, women hate that. So instead, you want to focus on just having a good time and hooking up with as many women as you want to. Now, if you know the techniques that are taught in Tao, then you're good to go when you get there. But you need to make sure that you have a certain sort of hat on, so to speak. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what your mindset should be. So one is that you need to make sure you're cool with being party guy. That's like basically a guy who's always out to have a good time, right? You want to be, I know if you're not like the kind of guy who's into clubs or any of that stuff or loud parties or packed venues and stuff, you better pretend to be for a little while and you better get used to it for the time that you're there because that's going to yield you the most amount of results. You also have to be cool with making out with a girl and then making out with another girl and not worrying about it because women don't give a shit about making out with you. They'll make out with you sometimes just to make you go away. And women don't care. That making out for a woman, making out with a guy is not the same as it is for a guy making out with a girl. Girls make out with guys all the damn time. They'll like make out with her. If you ever made out with a girl before and then didn't see her the rest of the night, she's probably somewhere else making out with another guy. I know that's kind of hard to swallow, but it's the truth, man. And you got to be comfortable with that. You get like, okay, well, no big deal. She's having a good time. I'm having a good time. All right, this is fun. The kinds of guys that get fucked, not in a good way, are the guys who don't know that, and they see this girl flirting with another guy. They get bummed out. They're like, oh no, she made out with me. It might not mean anything to her. Well, no, it didn't, dude. It didn't mean anything to her. She's just kind of messing around, and having a good time. So keep that in mind. And on spring break, it's like tenfold because she's going to be having a great time on spring break in another country, most likely, where all she's doing and all she has to do all day long is sit on the beach and drink alcohol. And there's going to be lots of dudes with their shirts off trying to be like muscly jackasses. So there's going to be a lot of sort of guys to compete with, but spring break is a really, really easy place to meet women because those guys have no idea what they're doing. So if you guys have a little bit of social skills and you follow the rules of the map of interaction and of social value, you'll be the center of everything, which is really fun. Next, you want to be for especially for the first couple of days that you're there, your job should not be trying to check out women or talk to them really. It should be you could do that on the side, but your main focus is going to be what's called social ambassador. This is where you're introducing people to each other. That's it. You're in a loud venue or some packed club, and you are meeting some dudes, chat with them for a little bit. You walk over, you meet some women, and then instead of sitting there like most guys would do and chatting up these women, bring these chicks over to the guys and introduce them. I know it sounds counterintuitive, and no one does it, but if you do it, these guys will owe you fucking big time. And on top of that, these guys are not going to be as good as you at meeting and attracting women. So when you bring the girls over, they're going to screw up. It's going to happen, And whenever that happens, the women are going to come to you to talk to you and not them. That's really important. So keep that in mind. You want to be a social ambassador and focus on that. Next, you want to be careful with getting serious. Like the whole time you're basically having a great time and being silly and fun, all that stuff. But there will be a time when it's time for you to get serious, but that will not be happening very often, not with women at least. You won't be building as much rapport. You'll be focused a lot more on staying in attraction for an extended period of time. Rapport will last all of maybe 10, 20 minutes, and that's it. 10, 20 minutes is a long time to be in rapport during spring break. I mean, your focus is going to be a lot more on banter, joking around, having a good time, introducing people, demonstrating your high value, qualifying women, and then repeat, rinsing and repeating with new women until eventually you find one that you really dig in and she's like not just hooking up with you randomly. That's whenever you go, all right, go into rapport briefly, like one cycle through rapport, and then that's it. Then go into seduction, like quick. It's not about long game on spring break. It's about quickness. Finally, well, not finally, but another important note to get one more thing to say after this is that you will be drinking on spring break. If you're not a drinker, then you need to be comfortable getting a contact high, or contact buzz, not contact high in this case, but a contact buzz, which is basically like You're being going to be around a bunch of drunk people, so you got to be able to cut loose like you're drunk, but not be drunk. This is something I used to do whenever I didn't drink till I was 21, and just not for any particular reason. I just didn't want to. And I used to go to parties though ever since I was like 18, but I didn't drink or do anything, so I was just kind of standing around. So eventually, I realized some really amazing insight, and that was that no one knows that I'm not drunk already. Everyone thinks that I've been drinking. So why don't I just act like I have been, right? So I started just like going woo and like joking around and stuff while everyone else was drinking, and no one thought twice about it. It was awesome. It was just really fun. So you get all the benefits of having no social pressure without having to actually drink. So if you're not a drinker, then you want to basically play up the contact buzz that you'll be getting, basically hanging around people who are drinking. And if you are a drinker and you're going to be drinking stuff, don't drink too much. This is the cardinal sin of spring break. You want to make sure that you focus on just relaxing. You know, every bottle of beer that you have, for every two bottles of beer that you have, at the very least, you want to have one glass of water. Especially if you're doing shots. You start doing shots. If you do a shot, drink a damn glass of water. And I'm not saying like, hey, for your health, like, you know, I care about you, of course. That's not what I'm trying to say. But more than I care about your health, I care about you getting action or some kind of, you know, positive response during spring break. That's really why you're there in the first place, is to have a great time and to meet women, you know, hook up. And if you get too drunk, you are going to be too retarded to meet women. It just won't work. So don't get too drunk. And then finally, you've got to adopt, and this is one of the hardest things to do, you've got to adopt an anything goes mentality. And that means things you wouldn't normally be cool with, you got to be cool with. I mean, like, if this sounds kind of crazy. And I'm going to say this, and it's kind of, you guys might laugh to yourselves a little bit, but I'll explain why this is important in a second and what I mean by it. If two girls want to fuck you at the same time, you've got to be cool with that. Now, I know that sounds retarded, but I literally have seen guys when I go out for boot camps, and they would use techniques that I tell them to use, and they would have two women on them, and they were ready to go home and fuck. Like, they want to have sex with this guy. They want to have a threesome, and they're ready for it, you know? And he just gets nervous. He gets scared, and he gets like, oh, man, I can't do this. I can't do this. And he'll blow it up on accident, you know? And that does happen because he gets really nervous and afraid. So you have to adopt this anything-goes mentality. You know, if you're chatting up a girl, and she's like, oh, I'll be right back, and she leaves, and you see her making out with some dude, you gotta be like, all right, she's having a good time. You know, you really can't be like upset, nothing like that. You gotta get rid of that out of your, completely out of your system. And that actually should never come back in your system, really, because that's the way you act when you have a lot of options. You're like, oh, all right, hey, good for him. You know, that's awesome. So those are my main points for spring break. I know we went into a couple of minor topics here. These are like subtopics here. If you guys have any more questions at all, please go ahead and write them in the box if you're listening online. I got a couple more questions that I'll get to a little later after I get into some of the main topics in a minute, or press star 2 if you do, if you are listening on the phone or on Skype. So now I'm going to go ahead and dive into my main topic for the day, which is your energy level. So first, let's talk a little about what energy level is, because this is, I think, a very ambiguous concept. And I think a lot of people don't really understand it. I know a lot of people, not a lot of guys don't understand it, so I'll talk about that. But a lot of people don't even consider it to be a problem or something to even think about. First, energy level is essentially your personal level of happiness or excitement. That's all that it is. Now, this is not fake excitement or happiness. This is like your real level of excitement for whatever moment that you're in. So like right now you have a certain energy level. It's probably relatively low because you're chilling, you're listening to a call, you're taking notes, you're, you know, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're transferring money into my account. I can give you my account number. If that's what you want to do. No. But really though, if you are, seriously folks, if you're sitting right here now, you're having a pretty mellow energy level. You're not like bouncing around jumping off the walls. So I would probably guess that on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like asleep, 10 being like, I don't know, like a little kid that just got ice cream, right? It was like jumping up and down and bouncing all over the place and having a great time and screaming and running in circles, right? You're probably somewhere around 3 or 4, right? Like, not, 3 is a little bit low, 4 is a little bit high, probably somewhere around there though, right? My energy level right now is about 5 because I am talking a lot. So my energy goes up when I talk because I'm an extrovert. So whenever you're going out, you're going to have an energy level, and your environment's also going to have an energy level. So what you want to do is you want to have what's called proper energy level, right? So proper energy level is essentially a level of energy that is just above the level of the energy that you're entering, right? So it's one notch above wherever you're entering. Now, this is only for environments where you're trying to meet women. Like, if you're going into a funeral, I'm not saying that you need to make sure your energy level is just one notch above, right? You're not going to be coming and be like, all right, everybody, who wants a shot? Like, you're not going to be doing that. Unless you're Irish, then, you know, have a good time, man. But you're going to be coming in with what's called proper energy level. And your proper energy level is important because if you enter into an interaction, like I said before, sort of touching on this briefly, if you enter into an interaction with somebody and you don't realize that their energy level is higher than yours, then you're going to be bringing them down and they're going to want to leave pretty quickly. Now, if you enter into a group or enter into an interaction in general and you don't realize that their energy level is lower than yours, you're going to come in and you're going to be like a squirrel, like just freaking out, you know? And they're going to be really weirded out, and you're going to creep them out. So they're going to want you to leave. Now, I'll tell you a short story about this. Before I really understood energy level, I was I remember I was in D.C., and I was visiting. I used to work for a company there teaching social dynamics. The first job I ever got teaching this stuff, and I was teaching for another company. The company was called Ask Romeo. And at the time, they were kind of an up-and-coming company. I'm not sure if they even exist now. Actually, I want to go ahead and look them up just to see if they do exist. And it looks like they do, kind of. Looks like they're more focused on women now, but whatever. So I was working for this company, and they're based out of D.C. And I had sort of just started getting into the world of meeting women at bars. Now, I wasn't really amazing at it or anything yet. I was still learning, and I didn't really have like an impeccable skill set. So entering into this world was like, you know, I was like a fish out of water there. I didn't really understand what was going on. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I should talk to people, who I should talk to, any of that stuff. It was like my first time into that world. And I remember we were at a festival one day, and that day turned into night, and we were at a bar. And I was walking around, and I was hanging out with people and laughing and stuff, and I went to the bathroom and some guy followed me in the bathroom and he stopped me. I was like, that's kind of weird in the first place. So I was kind of nervous around this guy anyway. And he goes, hey man, can I get some blow? And I was like, what? He goes, blow, you know, can I have some? And I was like, I don't know. I'm sure you can. Just find somebody who's got some and they'll give it to you, or they might sell it to you. I don't know. And he goes, no man, just give me some of yours. And I was like, I'm not on fucking cocaine, you know? Well, I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? No, I'm not doing coke. And he's like, dude, come on. And he didn't believe me. He didn't believe that I wasn't on coke. He thought I was on coke. And I was like, dude, I'm not on coke, man. I'm sure somebody here has it, and I'm sure you can get it from somebody, but I'm not that guy. And he ended up getting mad at me. And I was like, dude, I couldn't convince this guy that I wasn't doing cocaine. So that's when my first tip-off to myself came in that let me know that I was coming in too high energy. And what I had to do, and I talked about this before in other founding member calls, is I actually had to slow my hand movements down so that I slowed my speech pattern down. I didn't realize that I was coming in really, really high energy and talking to a lot of people and talking really fast and, you know, like smiling at everybody, and it looked like I wasn't coke. I'd never done coke before, so I don't know what that's like, and I guess that's what it seemed like. So that was a really big eye opener for me, and after that I started realizing that energy level is a really, really important sort of concept to understand and master for your interactions, especially at nighttime during at bars and things. So, people who are of high value in general get a lot of attention, right? A lot of people look at them. So, what you want to do is you have to be comfortable, you have to learn to feel comfortable in groups of people and not back down at all whenever people are looking at you, right? Now, whenever this happens, everyone's going to look toward you and they're going to look for your energy level. So, a lot of guys are afraid to come in at a high energy level or a little bit higher than the group. They always come in a little bit lower than the group. And this is a major mistake. Instead, you want to come in a little bit higher. And that means that everyone's going to look at you when you do that. Everyone's going to watch you. Everyone's going to pay attention to you. And if you are going to make the leap to being an attractive version of yourself, the most attractive version of yourself you could possibly be, you have to be comfortable with people, especially women, staring at you and giving you a lot of attention. Now, this might sound a little crazy and weird, but it's true, and it's a really actually a problem. Whenever I got into this in the beginning and women started really looking at me, I felt really weird. I felt like guys were judging me. I felt like girls were laughing at me. I didn't know. I was kind of like being in high school all over again. Actually, more like being in middle school for me, but it wasn't comfortable is my point. So I had, went through a lot of work to try to figure this out and eventually realized that I had to be comfortable with getting a lot of attention. And I had to, the only way to be comfortable with that is to actually go in and interact with a group of people that are all looking at me and then just get used to it over time. The first couple times you might screw it up, but I'm going to give you some tips right now about energy level. They're going to help you get there, if not the very first time from the beginning, just totally have it down. It'll take you a very, very short period of time. You'll have it nailed in a couple of hours if you're out interacting with people. And then after that, you don't have to worry about it again. Now, the bad thing about this is that if you do this wrong, you can actually blow up a venue. And by blow up a venue, I mean that you'll be talking to people in the venue, and then all of a sudden, everybody's going to start giving you negative responses, even people you haven't talked to yet. And that is because everyone's watching you interact, even if they're watching you in their periphery. And because of that fact, whenever you start to interact with the group, if you come in at the wrong energy level and they, other people see you bringing that group down or kind of blowing that group out by trying to be too energetic and seeming really needy, then everyone else will avoid you. So you may have to actually switch venues if you screw up. And don't be afraid to switch venues. That's okay. It's totally cool. Venues get blown out all the time, and then you want to switch up and go to a new place. So there's no big deal there. So another positive thing about coming in at the proper energy is that it'll keep you from doing something called dropping your state. Dropping your state is something we're going to talk about in the next call, and we're going to go over into it in pretty great detail then. It's basically what happens whenever you are, not just you, but you and other people, the girl that you're with as well. But whenever you're interacting and all of a sudden you start to let negative thoughts come in, or you start to get too logical and you stop being in the moment and feeling good, you start to drop state and all these negative ideas start coming to your head and you start trying to convince yourself that you need to leave or whatever it is. You start to have all these excuse processes pop up as to why you shouldn't be approaching women. So this coming up with proper energy level will be good and it'll help you do this. So what you want to do is you want to come in at an equal or slightly greater energy level than the group that you're approaching or that the girl that you're approaching. Now, the way that you can tell this is you look at a group and you watch how much they're moving their bodies and how loud their voices are, right? If they're moving their hands a lot, if they're turning their backs and they're really dynamic in their movements, then that's going to be a higher energy level than if they're not. So what you want to do is, and the way I usually do this is I just kind of look at the group and I give them all a number, right? So I'll be like, that group's at an energy level of 7, right? And in my head, I go, okay, if I was at the energy level, how would I be acting? So I kind of, simulate this in my head, and I'll go, okay, well, I might be talking about stuff from work, might be joking around a little bit, I might be laughing some, might be buying drinks, might be cheersing, whatever. But I'm not like, getting, yelling at times and causing a scene and stuff like that yet. I'm just kind of like at that, having a good time, having that sort of hum level. But I'm not like over the top yet. So what you want to do is you want to come in at an 8, right? Either a 7 or an 8. Probably at an 8 though is the best way to do it. Because as soon as you come in at an 8, you're going to come in and everyone's going to look at you. If you come in at a 7, you're going to blend right in and no one's going to notice, right? So if you want to integrate with the group and then do some kind of ninja tactics, especially if there are a lot of dudes, and you come into the group, you want to come in at the same energy level as everybody else and then up it over time to an eight so that you kind of stand out eventually. If you come in as an eight, though, you'll ricochet off the group. It's like it won't work. It'll just bounce right off because they'll reject you outright. The guys will try to push you out too because they'll notice that you're kind of getting more attention than they are. So you want to come in if there are a lot of guys coming at the same energy level. So just match it. And usually what you want to do is you want to raise your energy level, usually, because it usually means that you're going to be coming in at a at an actual lower energy level. Like when you're thinking in your head, you're looking at these different groups and you're analyzing. It's very likely, it's very common for a guy to come in or to be at a little bit lower energy level than everyone else in the group whenever you walk up. So you probably don't want to boost your energy level. And the way to boost your energy level is to do one of three things. First, you can do what's called smiling with your eyes. Smiling with your eyes is whenever you okay, so imagine this for a second. This is actually a really fun exercise to do. So if you're sitting there right now, you can do this. Go ahead and smile with your mouth. Smile with your mouth while you're sitting there, but don't smile with your eyes. So just use your mouth and that's it. It's kind of like a fake smile, right? Okay, now stop. Now, that experience didn't make you feel any happier. Just smiling like that is actually something that we learned how to fake pretty well. And it doesn't actually increase our mood at all or state. Now try this. Try not smiling with your mouth, but try smiling with your eyes. Now try to, the way that you do that is you make the same motion with your eyes as you might make whenever you are actually smiling, right? Try to keep your mouth from smiling, even though it may be impossible, but try anyway. And just sort of sit there with your eyes, smiling with your eyes for just a second, right? So go ahead and do that now. Now notice how that actually changes your mood. That actually makes you feel a little bit happier, right? But smiling with your mouth doesn't make you feel happier. But this is really important to note. Most people, and well, almost everybody except people who have extreme internal frames or who have Asperger's syndrome, are going to notice and recognize your smiling with your eyes as being genuine and smiling with your mouth as being fake. This is an important concept to understand because whenever you're walking around and interacting with people, if you're smiling with your mouth, then you're going to throw people off. If you're smiling with your eyes, you're going to seem very inviting and very calm and comfortable and confident. So you want to begin to smile with your eyes, and that will boost your energy level up a little bit. It'll also give you permission to do the next thing, which is being playful. So smile with your eyes is the first one. Being playful is the second one. So to be playful, you want to get into a banter state of mind. And if you have to, you can sort of like bounce a couple of silly ideas and banter lines off of a couple people before you walk up to the group, right? Just get into that mode. And one of my favorite things to do is to walk up to a group next to that group that seems easier to approach. Approach that group, start to get your playful mode in. And like as soon as you're up in the right energy level that you want to be at, then transfer to the other group. And it'll transfer your energy level right over. That'll also create a large amount of trust between the group that you're transferring into and the one that you just transferred out of. So that allows you to integrate groups, and it allows them to see you interacting with another group and going, oh, okay, well, they like him, so he can come over here now. We like him too, right? And this is all subconscious, of course. Finally, the third thing you're going to want to do is, and this is something you can always have in your back pocket. You can have it in your back pocket literally if you want. You can write something down that makes you laugh. So, you know, I'm probably my classic now to think of whenever I use this because it's kind of universal to anybody who's ever seen this cartoon, is think of the Peter Griffin from Family Guy laughing. I wish I had a soundbite of that I could play. I don't really know how to play stuff on here, but he's like, he's got this really hilarious sounding silly laugh, or like, you know, anything from Family Guy makes me laugh pretty much. But yeah, so if you think about something that makes you laugh, a joke or anything like that, that'll actually get your mood back up and it'll boost you up. Now, what you'll probably do the first time you go into a group and try this out is you're probably going to overshoot and come in a little too high energy, right? You're probably going to come in, you're going to clap your hands and be like, what's going on, guys? And they're going to be like, who the hell is this guy? And you're going to go, fuck, I came in a little too high energy. And you're going to have to be like, I'll be right back, and leave, start over, come back and recalibrate and try it again, or, you know, whatever, right? So you may come in a little bit too high energy in the beginning. And that's okay. Allow yourself a little bit of time to practice and get that down. You know, it's not going to be perfect the first time you do it. Another really good thing to do is, like I kind of mentioned this a minute ago, is to talk to people on the way over there for a short period of time. Not just go to a group that's there, that's standing next to them. That's a really good way of doing it. But another thing you can do is actually on your way over, you can talk to women or talk to people, talk to groups of people. It doesn't have to be women at all. It can just be groups of people. And what this will do is it will sort of prime your pump so that you, by the time you get there, you're coming in at the proper energy level and you're sort of rocking it, right? And that's really, those are really the biggest ways to boost your energy level. Now, if you have any questions about that, by the way, go ahead and post a question right now. If you're listening online, you can type that question right in. If you're listening on the phone, press star 2, and that will raise your hand, and I can actually unmute you and chat with you. So go ahead and do that if you do have any questions. I'm going to go ahead and let's see. Actually, I'm going to unmute Lance. I'm going to unmute you first because I have a couple of off-topic questions I want to get into toward the end of this, and I think your question is probably relevant. So I'm going to unmute you now. Are you there, Lance?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How you doing?
Great. All is well.
Cool.
I'll just give you a brief scenario because some of the transactions apply to topic tonight.
Okay.
At the last minute, a friend of mine invited me to a cocktail mixer. It was mainly attorneys and CPAs and banking people.
Mm-hmm.
My energy level was kind of low because it was a last minute thing. I had to put on a suit and a tie.
Uh-huh.
And once when I showed up at the place, I saw a lot of hot women and my energy level went up.
They will do that.
I immediately started to mingle and talk with everybody, and I spotted this really hot blonde in a red cocktail dress.
Mm-hmm.
Saw her name tag because we had to wear name tags, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" We started talking. Had a great conversation because she's traveled around the world, and I have. We had some common ground.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that a girlfriend from Rio she works with, and she was going to invite her over to this cocktail party. I said, "Yeah, I've been to Rio. I speak some Portuguese." And she's, "Oh, great." But her girlfriend couldn't make it. And let me a picture of her cat and blah, blah, blah. And I drifted off. I said, "Hey, it was great talking with you, and I'll talk to you later." Went off to other groups. Then another wave of people came in, and all these guys were around her. But she's a really hot blonde in a red cocktail dress, obviously.
Right.
And I tried to work my way back into that group, but these people were really kind of had a hold on her.
Mm-hmm.
I got her to show me her cat again. They were sharing iPhone pictures. But I didn't feel really comfortable in how I moved back into that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and I met another woman who worked at a bank, and her last name is Rob. And I said, "Hey, that's kind of funny. You work in a bank, and you're And so I had a great chat with her. Gave me her card. And then eventually I left. And that night when I got home, I was so taken by this blonde, I text her. I said, "Hey, maybe you and your girlfriend from Rio and I can get together for a drink sometime."
Mm-hmm.
She texts me back. She goes, "Yeah, that'd be great, but it's tax season now and I'm swamped. Maybe we can meet at the next cocktail party," which they have every month.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "That's cool." And then I text her a couple days later and I said, "If I recall correctly, you were interested in Russia and dance." And she texts me back. She goes, "Yeah, I danced in Russia."
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I left it. And I don't know if I did that right by texting her that night and by asking to get together. I don't know. What's your take on how I handled that?
In that situation, first off, let's go back. Let's kind of rewind back to the experience that you had whenever you met her the first time. The first thing you did is, and this is something that you're going to get better at, Lance, and I know you will because I know you and you always get better at stuff, but you came in without assessing the potential for this party to get bigger, right? So you saw her in the beginning, and no one was really all over her yet, and you didn't realize at the time that that was actually a gym. Okay, you know, that wasn't going to happen very often. So in that moment, what I would have done, instead of trying to make a connection, which you did, I would have bantered like crazy. So that was the first thing I would have done. Because what you need to do is you need to create a certain level of intrigue and curiosity and also create, you know, start to role play a little bit and be like, okay, look, there are a lot of girls here. They'll be showing up a little bit later on. I know some of them like me. So if I come up to you and I high five you, then that'll be my signal. You know, just chill out for a minute, and then they'll think that I'm with you or something. You know, whatever it is, right? So you're my new girlfriend or something. You're my girlfriend for the night or whatever, and just joke around with her, whatever it is. You know, use banter lines. Use the banter lines a lot. If you don't have your own, then you know, obviously there are plenty of stock ones, and you've read them before, so use those.
I wrote the banter lines. You asked me to do that assignment. I haven't got any feedback, so I'm putting you on notice for that.
You haven't gotten any feedback? Oh, you sent them to me.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been gone.
I wrote about six.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check them out. I'll have to check my inbox.
Yeah, because I thought it were pretty good.
Okay. Well, I'll check them out, man. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't use them. Either way, you know.
Of course I'm going to use them. I'm just saying that I follow up. And
you follow up. I just don't follow up. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Trying to blame on me, Lance? No, I'm
you
kidding.
Follow up on that.
So ultimately, though, Lance, the biggest concern I have about this interaction is that you went to rapport early, and it was a cocktail party, and everybody does this at cocktail parties, especially if they have to wear a suit. You know, it's like the biggest association we have with parties where you have to wear a suit is that you have to talk about boring crap, or like not even just boring stuff, but you have to talk about rapport. You have to go into rapport because it's like a business thing, right?
And they're all lawyers.
And they're all lawyers, right? Or like you're saying, CPAs or something. And in this environment, you know, you have to break the mold. You have to sort of get outside of that. And the way that you get outside of that is really simple. You just don't go into rapport that early. You want to joke around with a lot of people for a long period of time, because especially in this environment, the only kind of guys that will banter like that in an environment like this are guys who have a shitload of money or who are really successful. And if you look back at anybody who's really, really successful, they like to banter in business situations because they don't take them too seriously, you know? And they're like, they don't.
Their tank is full. They don't need to.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So in this scenario, that's the first thing I noticed where you kind of derailed, right? You derailed there for a little bit. And then later on, it wasn't that you came back in the situation in an incorrect way. It's that you didn't have anything to pull from because she already had rapport with you. And now she's getting a lot of attention from other guys who aren't really necessarily going into rapport, or worse, they're trying to go into rapport, and they're trying to like help her out and give her business and you know whatever it is they're trying to do so they can find some sneaky way to get her to bed, you know. And now you look too much like those guys, right? Those guys came in, they did the same thing that you're talking about doing, and
their dog and cat and stuff like that.
Right, you know, stuff that it seems like now that you came in at the status quo instead of the truth, which is that you're very, very different than everybody else there, right? So in this particular case, coming back in, let's say you find that situation again, because really the scary part is whenever you realize all of a sudden that, you know, every guy is surrounding her and there's nothing you can do, right? So you went back in and you asked for a cat picture again, right?
Right.
Now, if you had a reason, here's one way you could do this. I've had a situation before where I realized I screwed up, and then I went back in later on, and I was like, "Oh crap, what do I do?" You know, one thing you can do is you can do what's called an anchor, or use what's called an anchor on yourself. This is a physical anchor where you go, "Hey, do you mind if I see that picture again of your cat?" You know, it's real quick, and then you go, "Okay, hold on one second." You take it and you walk somewhere else with it, and then you show somebody else. So you have to be like, you have to start a conversation with somebody else outside of this that goes blah 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 blah. Oh my God.
Can you believe this cat is this fat? Something like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, so I'm thinking about using this as my mascot. Let me let you check it out, right? It can be a dude. It doesn't really matter, right? And then you go, hold on one second. You walk over and you go, hey, blah, 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 can I see your picture of your cat? She goes, yeah. You take the phone, you walk over, and you go, I'll be right back. You walk over and you show it to this guy. You don't look back over at her. You just, like, joke around, you know, and you, like, show it, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, it looks like you're having your own conversation over there about this cat, right? And she's going to be like, what the hell is he talking about my cat, right? This is exactly what you need. You need to get back to that curiosity state instead of just, you know, instead of bouncing back into rapport. Because really, if you think about it, social dynamics-wise, what you were saying when you walked up and asked for a cat is, I already talked to this girl, and she already showed me her cat, you know? She showed me her pussy, you know? You're basically saying, like, hey, look, everybody. I already know this person. right? And that's not, you don't mean to do that consciously, but that's what happens when you get like at a loss of what to do. We tend to go, okay, well, what do I know what has done what has worked already? And we try to go back to that thing again, right? So instead of falling victim to that, when you find yourself in that situation, you can do that, but switch immediately and shift gears back to creating attraction. And not just attraction with her. You want to create attraction with lots of people, and especially other women, because you've now entered into a long game, right? It's not a short game anymore. It would have been a short game if you had gone from the beginning to end and followed the system like it sort of laid out, textbook, but you didn't do that. Since you veered away from the system, which is okay to do, by the way. It's okay for you to do that. But since you do that, you did that, you have to come back and play a different, longer game to get it back on track again, you know? Sometimes I would come in and I would build rapport with somebody knowing that it was going to push me into a long game position because, you know, A, there's somebody there that I've already hooked up with that I didn't want to hook up with this new girl in front of them, you know, or I knew this is the kind of girl that it would take a little bit longer to do, so I should take my time with it, that sort of thing. So there are times which you do want to do this, but getting her alone outside that party is not a good idea. That's one of the reasons why she said, well, I'm swamped with tax season, which is probably true. Why don't we just meet the next mixer? She's basically saying, why don't we get you in a position where I have control, right? She doesn't like to lose control. And she's Russian, is that what you're saying?
No, she's not Russian. She lived
there or something? Or? Okay. I thought
you heard hot blonde and you thought Russian.
I thought you said that she did Russian dance or something, or dance when she was in Russia. Or something.
In Russia.
Yeah, okay. So I heard Russia somewhere in there. Either way though, a lot of women who have been to Russia, especially if they're blonde and they've been to Russia, realize pretty quickly that no guy will look twice at a blonde girl in Russia. They just don't give a shit because there's so many hot girls in Russia. No one cares, right? It's just like that's how it is. So when they come back to the States, they are attention whores. They need it. They want it. It's like, oh my God, out of nowhere, I'm getting all this attention and I need it, right? So they're fairly...
Visit.
What do you think?
I said she didn't live in Russia. She just visited there.
Okay. Either way, though, you'll see that often, you know, especially women who lived in Russia for a long period of time. But this girl in particular, anyone who comes to a place like that with a red dress on, with blonde hair especially, and most women dye their hair blonde, you know, who comes to a situation like that, you know, is wanting attention. And the last thing you want to do is give her all that attention for no reason. You have to.
I did break away after we had a pretty good conversation. I left her.
Yeah, that's good. But you already had rapport at that point.
Yes, and I said, hey, I'm going to go mingle. Maybe we'll talk.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because you recognized that it wasn't going anywhere if you kept doing that, right? That was good. That was a good move. The better move, and just for the future especially, would be to do that whenever you don't need to, right? To do it in the beginning, like it's right when you're still talking to her at the very beginning, you know? And that's whenever you want to do it. That way you can essentially use that takeaway. That takeaway is for attraction. It's to build attraction. But if you're in the middle of a rapport and you do a takeaway, it doesn't build attraction. It just resets the meter. That's all it does. So it takes you back to the beginning. It doesn't build attraction. If you're in the middle of attraction and you use a takeaway, then it actually builds curiosity. You know what I mean? So you want to use that at the right time. Using any of the techniques that you know at the wrong time will actually backfire. You know that because you've done it before. And we've all done that.
I think in this case, I was too heavy on rapport and I had very little banter.
Yeah, for sure. That's what you did in the beginning, you know. But if you find yourself in that place again and you want to get out of it, the best way to do it, hands down, is to flirt relentlessly with everybody there. Relentlessly. And never look at this other girl. Don't look at the blonde girl for the rest of the night. Just flirt with everybody else you can, you know. And then to guys, banter, joke around, make them laugh. That's all you're going to be doing all night long.
And that's what I did that night after
Good.
I left her.
Good. That's perfect. So that's all you can do. And then you've entered into a long game, like I said. So that means that it's going to take you a little bit more time, you know. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It just means
So was I semi-effective in the fact that she's been responding to my texts? And so something was established.
Something was established, but I wouldn't say necessarily that you were effective because at the end of the day, effectiveness assumes that you have an outcome that's being accomplished. And I'm not sure if the outcome has been accomplished yet. You know, we don't know her intention to respond back in a response back to your text. You won't know that until the next time you see her. So you'll know in the next mixer. You know, you'll know then how she responds to you. But when you see her, make sure that you're on top of your body language. Just really, really important, you know. And, like, just know it before you go in. Just, like, breeze over something. Like, go through some notes. Make sure you practice a little bit. And get there a little bit early if you can. And when she walks in, be in another conversation, you know. And when she comes over, you know, spin her or something. Spin her around in circles and then be like, okay, get out of here. You know, like, really get playful with her. You got
to
do this.
Thanks to you, I was totally aware of my body language with her because I did it at an angle. I did not face her directly in the beginning.
Good. So when you get back, she comes back
Las
in again.
Vegas.
Yeah, huh? When she comes back in again, like the next time you see her, just make sure you take that to the next level. You know, get more and more and more playful. If you haven't done like a spin move yet in the middle of a conversation with a girl, I highly recommend you do that, Lance. It's a very powerful technique.
Since she's into dance, she could go for that easily. So.
She could, but once she goes for it, take it away. This is very important. As soon as she's like, oh my God, then go, okay, get out of here. Smile. Like, okay, get out of here. And then have your conversation again. You know, take away then. Right? Right when she really wants to, that's when you want to take away. If you're in the middle of rapport, you can't take it away. That's not when take away for it. They'll backfire if you do that before. So next time you see her, don't worry about texting or anything until then. Just be like, okay, cool, sounds good. See you then, whatever. Show up. And then don't even worry about talking to her. She's got to think that you chat with like 1,000 girls, you know. And the best way to do that is to actually chat with 1,000 girls between now and next time you see her, you know. And that'll keep your mind off of her. So that's the way to do it. And other than that, though, you know, when you make little mistakes like that, just knowing how to get it back on track again. That's really what the power of, you know, the system is. That's where it really sits. So definitely, nothing's gone here. It's just that you're gonna have to. Next time you see her, you just got to play it by the book, and it'll work.
That's
cool?
Great. Thanks a lot, and I pat myself on the back for going out there and doing it, and every guy should feel the same when you push yourself and go out into a big social scene.
Mm-hmm.
You got to just do it.
Yeah, totally. And every time you do it, you're taking a level up, so it's worth raising a glass to you. So definitely, thanks for sharing that, Lance. I appreciate it.
Right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I had a question there for a minute from someone in Fairfield. You know, it was like in California, or maybe their cell phone's in Fairfield, a 707 number. If you still have a question, go ahead and press star 2 and raise your hand before I go into the rest of these questions here. So if you don't, that's okay too. No big deal. You're just a jerk. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so Brad, do you want to tackle the first question here from Scott in Grand Rapids? And I'll jump on after you do that and see what you say.
Okay. Scott's asking, do women mind being approached at the gym? He said he's getting mixed information on the topic and wants a clear perspective. Yep.
They do mind or they don't mind?
They do mind. No, sorry. They don't mind.
They don't mind. Okay.
I think it was Marnie actually. I think I read a post on her blog or something, and she said that she took like a poll of places that women expect to be approached, you know, and it's like coffee shops, the gym, and, you know,
bars.
Activities, mm-hmm. basically. Actually, well, this was it was a reason for approaching women during the day and some place other than bars, because a lot of girls either don't go out to bars or they don't really want to meet, you know, their boyfriend at the bar anyways. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So yes is the answer. That's a very short three-letter word. but yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little about the difference though on this. Of course, the answer is yes, but, how, you know, that's the big question. How do you go about doing this? Because really to most guys, it's not a matter of whether or not you should or shouldn't, because let's face it. Most of us don't really care about whether we should or shouldn't do something. We do it anyway. We're guys. That's what we do. The question is, how do we do it right? You know, when do we, when don't we do it? That kind of thing. Now, the downside to a gym is also the upside to the gym, and that is that there are a lot of different activities for a woman to be doing, right? And that's good because you have lots of different environments during which to choose to approach a woman. And it's bad because some women are actually going to be in environments where it's not very conducive for approaching them, you know. For example, if a woman's deep into like running full speed on the treadmill, you're not going to walk up to her and lean on her treadmill and be like, "So, how you doing? You know, come here often.
Yeah.
Where are you running to? You know, whatever."
You know, like, well, that would actually be
that
pretty
would be
funny.
Pretty funny. But she won't be able to give you a very positive response because she's going to be having all this other physical stimulation while she's talking to you. The best times to talk to women are A, in between sets, right? So, and of course you want to go in, you want to be joking, you want to be flirting. So one of the best ways to do that is to joke about having your spot for you or like, having them arm wrestle you or something like that, you know what I mean? Or like challenge you to a contest and just being silly. You want to be able to laugh. A lot of people will look at you when you do this. Like there are guys all over the place that will be looking at you. You got to be okay with that. I know it's kind of weird, so you got to be comfortable with it. Man, people are going to be staring at you. I hope you're okay with it. So Scott, definitely be cool with that. Another time, my favorite time to talk to women at the gym is going to be just after their set or just before, just after they've worked out or just before they've worked out. More likely than not, just before they worked out because, well, it depends. If a girl is running the whole time and she's really sweaty, then she may not respond positively to you talking to her after she's worked out. She may want to go like rinse off or something, and she might feel really self-conscious. Her hair might be all frizzy and shit because she's been bouncing all over the place. So I may talk to usually want to talk to girls before they go in. If they're doing a really light workout, like they're not jumping all over the place, they're taking a lot of time in between sets and stuff, then you can approach and make sure you banter, though. It's really important to banter. If you don't banter, you're going to do what every other guy there does. Now, the benefit to this, to being in a gym and approaching women, is that literally 95% of the guys in there have no clue at all how to talk to women. I know it sounds crazy because it's the gym and they're all buff dudes usually, but that's what they're betting on. They're betting on women. They're going to be like, "Oh my God, that guy's got big muscles," right? They're trying to avoid a social interaction. They don't know how to do it. They don't want to. They're just kind of hanging out and they're like, "Okay, well, girls will see me working out and they'll want to have sex with me," you know? So you have a leg up on the rest of the guys and all the competition there because you are going to be focusing a lot more on social interaction. You'll know a lot more about that. So definitely use a lot of the banter and stuff. Also, qualify women big time whenever you meet them in the gym. This is important. You can even use the questions qualifier right there. Like, that's not a big deal. But probably the better of the qualifiers for the gym is going to be the self-fulfilling prophecy qualifier. If you're not familiar with that, crack open the Tao of Badass again and read that shit, mofo, because it's good. And there's a lot of information in there. So that's probably the best way to go about the gym. That's a really quick and dirty version, as you say here. I'm going to go back to the phones here real quick, and then we're going to get a couple more questions, then we're going to be done for the evening here, the evening where I am. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you here again in Fairfield. I think it's where you are. What's going on, brother? Are you there?
Hey, Josh. It's Victor.
Hey, Victor. How you doing, man?
Good. Hey, sorry if you already went over this. I have to leave the call really quick. But I had a quick question. I have a little scenario, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I went to this party, and at this party, my friend actually introduced me to a couple friends. And when I went in, he was kind of taking the floor. So I was looking a little bit, not as high energy as him, mm-hmm. but a little bit underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, when I left the group, I was like, "All right, well, I'll be right back." So I went to go meet some other people. And when I met some other people, I tried to match their high energy. And what had happened was that I actually came in with a higher energy because I sensed that their energy was a little bit higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of my friends from the other group who saw me at the lower energy, saw me mm-hmm. at this higher energy, and they were just like, "Whoa, like, how'd you change energy so fast?" So didn't know if
okay.
that was weird, or I don't know if I should have done something special, or I don't know.
No, you were good there, man. Nothing to worry about. That's totally fine.
Okay. I thought that it was like going to be a huge turnoff or something.
No, nothing there. No worries there. It's that actually what typically will make people feel whenever you leave one group at a lower energy and enter another group at a high energy, it usually makes them feel like crap. Because they were sitting there kind of, they think they were bringing you down the whole time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's probably they're probably just worried that they were bringing you down. Now, people respond to that in a lot of different ways. One of the ways that people respond to that is in judgment, right? So they might start to judge you or like, be like, oh, well, he's just weird or something. Because they're afraid to admit that they feel like they just fucked up. You know what I mean? So that if they're insecure or slightly insecure people, the other group, then that might come off, you know, they may come at you like, oh, and they may want to judge you, that kind of thing. But that's not, you know, it's not likely going to happen. And if it does happen, the one or two girls that are in the group that are attracted to confidence, you know, they're going to mm-hmm. see everybody else get insecure and they're going to see you being confident. And they're still going to want to talk to you, you know. So
gotcha.
So you're totally cool in that respect. Kind of curious though, when you walked in, and you were kind of talking and your friend was talking, and he had the floor or whatever, were you saying you entered the group and he had the floor of that group or he had the environment, like the whole party or whatever?
Basically they were all his friends and, he just came in. He's like, oh, Victor, here, come here. You have to meet these really cool people. And he's kind of introduced me. And, basically when I said, oh, hey, and he just started taking the floor. I don't know, like kind of. I guess he was just like a natural, I guess you can say, just like bantering and kind of like, I guess, outspeaking everybody, which like, so if they would say something, he would quickly reply, like instead of giving me time to like quickly banter or anything. So,
right. So here's a technique you can use. Mm-hmm. When it comes to stuff like this, this is a really elementary game to play, but in a situation like that, where you're up against somebody who is doing this, they were playing an elementary game, so you got to kind of play it with them, you know? Like, that's a really underdeveloped, it's kind of like a, I don't know how to put it. It's kind of an immature, not in a bad way necessarily, but not fully developed technique that he's using, right? And that's basically like a talk over you or talk before you, right? That's like saying you want to walk into a place and you want to be respected, so you punch everybody in the face. Right, so everyone's scared.
Yeah, so,
it's not a very confident way of dealing with things, right? So let me tell you how to one up him and how to actually not one up him and make it seem like you're one upping him, but how to really come across like you're a dominant guy without him stepping all over your toes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, if you ever get in that situation again, especially with him, now one of the best things to do is to assume this is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So when you walk up for the very first time and he introduces you, you go, okay, walk up and then say, hey, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. So how do you know this asshole? Ask them how they know him, right? Don't ask him anything. And like,
gotcha.
If you say something like, how do you know this asshole in a joking way, right? And if you think he's going to be cool with you saying that, like he might laugh, especially if it's like his place, whatever. You know, and then let them talk. He'll look like an asshole if he tries to interject an answer for them, right? So in that case, he won't be able to actually step in. Now, without him knowing, you've taken the floor, they're talking to you, but you're talking about him, so he really has no reason to stop you, you know? And as long as you keep this going, you can turn it and be like, well, I met him, he and I met at a gay club, and we really hit it off in the beginning, and then I found out that he wasn't gay, and that was a really big, no, you know, whatever, you know? I'm going to joke around this list, basically play with him a little bit, but he said he was interested, but, you know, he had to get used to it, and whatever. So you basically just plow over him, right? But you plow from the very beginning. If he gets a, that's kind of like a, I don't know, I kind of look at it like sticking a wedge in a crack, you know? You put a wedge in a crack and you take a hammer and you smash it, the whole thing's going to crumble, right? If you let him get a wedge in that crack right there and he smashes it with a hammer, meaning that he starts taking over, your whole interaction is going to crumble, right? And you can't let that happen. Even if it is his party, you can't let that happen, you know. You have to stay in your friend.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Basically, I mean, usually I have, like, no trouble kind of, like, bantering someone off. But when it comes to, I guess, people, like, friends introducing me to others, I don't know. I kind of feel a little shitty just taking over completely over the conversation. Does that make any sense?
That makes sense, and I totally feel you on that, but you got to get over it.
Okay.
I mean, you just got to. You got to get used to taking over conversations, because here's – imagine this happening, Victor. Imagine you walk up to a girl and or a group of people, right, and you see a girl, and you're like, oh, my God. Somehow you know this girl is your future wife. I mean, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous, and she's glowing from the inside. She looks over at you. She smiles at you. There's an instant connection, right? And then some other guy walks up and starts talking. Are you going to sit back and be like, I don't want to be a dickhead. I don't want to be a jerk, whatever. Or are you going to like have the skills to push through it and claim what's rightfully yours, you know?
Okay. Yeah,
you got awesome. You got to be willing to do it. You can't always take the back seat. And I'm with you on this. As extroverted as I am, I was very, very shy. I know it might sound kind of crazy to hear that now, but I was extremely shy. And I would sit back just like you're talking about. You know, I always felt like a jerk. But you know what? Some people might think that you're a jerk eventually, but fuck those people. You know?
Yeah.
They can't, you can't be around people forever that like, you know, that they can't hold you back forever. It's not going to work, man. It's like you know, those are people who won't let you grow, and you're going to have to grow past them. You know? That's why it's important to have like, you know, your Dow brothers with you, and like why you should go out with your Dow brothers and stuff, and why you should meet up with people in your area who have the Dow badass new study, because that will allow you to, you know, to sort of become the next version of yourself without any kind of constraints. A lot of friends that you have now will not be comfortable with that, and they might try to resist you on it. So you got to make sure that you have other friends outside of that, and you're constantly growing, and that you allow yourself to be, you know, this really great quotation. This is the reason why I understood this the first time is that I heard a guy, the guy who taught Tony Robbins also taught me, and his name's Wyatt Woodsmall. And Wyatt said something really great, and that was, in order to become the best version of yourself, you have to become, in sort of air quotes, like quote unquote, not me, right? You have to do some stuff that's not like you, right? In order to, you know, change your behavior. Because anything that you do outside of your natural behavior or your normal behavior is going to feel like it's not like you. And so you can't use that as a very good guide as to whether or not you should or shouldn't do something. And definitely, you know, you seem like a really nice guy, dude. You could probably stand to be a little more of an asshole, you know, just saying.
Yeah,
know?
Probably.
You know, and I think
can you tell my, by the way I talk, if I'm introverted or extroverted?
You're introverted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell immediately. You also though will drop you also drop your tonality a little bit. Have you watched the 5-week body language mastery course videos?
Yep, sure have.
Okay. So did you study any of the tonality at all?
I have. And I guess right now I'm just doing that cuz I'm a little more nervous since I don't know, I don't really talk to I haven't talked to you a lot, and I'm like on the phone.
Hundreds of millions of guys. No, it's not
exactly
that
millions and billions.
No, I totally do. So no worries. I'm just making sure, Victor, because if you bring this is how you act when you get nervous, though, and when you're around women, you might be nervous. So this might come out of your mouth. You may talk like this, right? You may have a dipping, like a little bit of a question mark around everything that you say. So
gotcha.
Instead, you want to practice being nervous and saying shit with conviction, right?
Okay,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks so much, Victor. I'm going to mute you now so I don't get to hear you chomping on potato chips or whatever you might be doing. Or masturbating.
All right,
talk to you soon. Good old Victor. Victor's a pretty powerful name. I like that. Anytime I met a girl named Victoria, I always said, oh, that's a very powerful name, because it is. It's like victorious, you know, Victor. Like you're the winner, you know. No pressure or anything. Brad, you want to go ahead and go down the – looks like Jonathan asked a couple of questions, and we have a no-name question, and we can get through those, and then we'll call it a night for that call. Is that cool with you?
Yes.
Cool.
All right. So Jonathan's first question is, how do you keep a girl or girlfriend? How does the game change?
Brad, do you want to take that first?
Well, we've been talking – about relationship balance on some of the previous calls. So you definitely want to check those out if you haven't listened to them already. But it definitely it becomes, I guess it's a little different if it's a girl that you just met or a girlfriend, but
right. So I guess that keep a girl or a girlfriend thing does make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we just take one at a time for that? Let's say that it's a girl that you just started dating, right? Because at the end of the day, who really cares if it's like a girl or a girlfriend, really? I mean, it'll make a big difference if it's a girl you just met, but let's assume that it's a girl that you're just starting to date, right? So it's kind of like right in the middle of a girl that you just met and a girlfriend. Brad, what would be like your number one tip for Jonathan to keep that going together? And of course, he wants to know how the game changes, and I'll talk a little about that.
I'd say the biggest thing would be to work on just being unapologetic.
Mm.
I mean, like being confident in your decisions and not sort of bending to her will, because she's going to start testing more and more. Like, okay, you seem like a really cool, confident guy, but I don't know, now that we're hanging out a little bit more, I just want to make sure. And she's going to start testing in little ways. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is to sort of pass all those tests and to keep her interested and to keep her knowing that you're a really confident and valuable guy is to continue the confident and valuable things that you were doing before. So you really want to go back to the belief creation system that's outlined in the Tao of Badass, because as you start systematically choosing beliefs and building your inner confidence, then it's going to continue radiating and it's going to continue like attracting her and giving her confidence in your confidence, like letting her know, like as you described in the book, you know, she can be the she can chase butterflies and you can make sure that she's free to do that because you're the one steering the boat. You're the one making logical decisions, and you're confident in those decisions because you're confident in all of your decisions. So
right.
That would be my biggest thing, is to continue religiously working on your belief system using the belief creation process, because it's going to affect every single girl you talk to, every interaction you have, every problem that you might encounter as a couple, if you are like a girlfriend and boyfriend. It's going to inform that because every time something sort of challenging comes along, she's going to look to you and go, okay, well, how does the captain, the steerer of the boat think we should handle this? And if she sees you waver, then she's going to have to step up and play the male gender role, and it's going to make her uncomfortable and it's going to make her less attracted to you.
Absolutely. That is probably the biggest thing to note whenever you're getting in the relationship as well, if you want to keep it together. Things outside of that, whenever you go through into a relationship with somebody, you enter into a new world of different levels. And I'm just starting to outline this now. I've never outlined this before in my life, but I've had sort of a suspicion that this was the case, that we actually enter into different levels of a relationship, and that we can predict what level you're about to be in, how to progress to the next one. But I've never really outlined it. I actually ran into this guy named Garrison, who founded a program called the Authentic Man Program, or AMP for short. I ran into him recently at a party, and I didn't know who he was. And we just started talking, and we really hit it off, and I found out who he was. And I was like, that's hilarious. So we were talking about that, and I know that there are different stages that you go through in a relationship, but I know more than anything, the most important thing I can tell you now, I can't tell you the stages yet, but because I don't know all of them yet, but I do know that they're based, all your stages that you go through are based on one thing. They're based on how willing you are to face your insecurities and overcome them. This is huge in a relationship. Now, I know it's getting kind of like holistic and woo-woo sounding maybe, but I don't mean want to come across like that. The truth is, though, that if you do not focus on overcoming your insecurities and improving yourself every day that you're in a relationship, you are not going to be her best option eventually. There's going to be somebody else who is better than you. And at that point, you're fucked. She's going to leave you, right? So that's the most important thing. That's why I made a community. You know, I want guys to enter into this community and always have the ability to tap into this resource and grow as men. We're men growing together. That's what we're doing. We're overcoming our insecurities, and we're taking it to the next level. That's what we're doing. So you want to make sure that you focus on that and that you constantly do that. On top of that, though, you also want to build a lot more rapport. So once you get into a relationship with a girl, you actively have to build rapport with her. I mean, you'll have to go through the rapport process several times. And I don't just mean like 10. I mean like possibly hundreds of times, if not thousands of times, upon the course of your relationship. And they're going to be deep and meaningful and kind of scary fucking conversations you're going to have with this girl, you know?
And you're going to have to be able to be comfortable letting down your guard and revealing things that you haven't revealed to people before, you know?
Right, exactly. And if you don't do that, she will begin to lose interest. It will happen, you know? And I know it sounds kind of crazy, and there's no, like, shortcut around this, really. But the game does change in that you're not using so much negative body language. Now, over time, as it works, in the very beginning of a relationship, you still have things like tests, like negative body language coming into play, like she'll look at other guys and that kind of stuff. And then over time, you're going to replace all of the lighthearted, fun, kind of silly parts of the interaction with deep, meaningful, positive rapport. And then that's whenever your seduction and your sexuality with this woman take a turn to the next level as well. And that's when you begin to sort of explore new things and new sexuality together. And how you really basically that's how you make her never, ever, ever want to leave you, is entering into that sort of zone. So, Jonathan, that's the first one. That's answered your first question there. Hopefully that was good enough for you to get some nuggets out of that. But I know it's not an easy one to swallow, because it's not like all you have to do is, say this magic phrase and she'll always stay there. You know what I mean? It's more like you have to actually change your mindset. But it works, and it works.
I'd say you definitely want to keep in mind that she's looking to you to figure out where she stands and where you stand always. So, actually this just brought up something that might happen if you're sort of like hanging out with her, but you're not really like officially dating yet. And maybe that's why he's talking about the girl/girlfriend stage. Something that might come up sometimes is like, if you go out and you're hanging out in the social environment and maybe another guy comes up and he says, is this your girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
You might think like, oh shit, how do I handle that? We're not really boyfriend, girlfriend, but I obviously want to be with her, but I don't know, all of that. Basically just, you don't need to say anything, just like take her hand, pull her in and kiss her or something, just like claim her in some way. And that takes care of that. But I know that happened to me a lot in the past, where I was like hanging out with someone that I was interested in, and some guy would come up and be like, hey, is this your girlfriend? And I'd be like, well, I can't say that she is, but it doesn't change the fact that I want to be with her tonight. You know?
It doesn't change the fact that I want you to fuck off and leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually had, I've had guys have a few different techniques when it comes to that sort of thing. I mean, I walked up, and I've been that guy too, where I was like, hey, is this your girlfriend? And I've also had guys say, I've had guys go, yes, and it wasn't true. And when I find out that's not true, I'm like, well, fuck you, I'm taking her, right? Because he lied to me too, on top of everything. But what I do respect a lot is when a guy goes, no, but I'm attracted to her and I really want to date her. So if you could not hook up with her or try to, even if it's right in front of her, if you could like not drool all over her, that would be really awesome. I really appreciate that. And women tend to really, really respond well to that, Next question that Jonathan had, Brad, do you want to go ahead and take that one too?
Sure. So he says, can you talk about energy level in the context of a social circle, and what's different about social circle games since you're not really approaching a girl anymore? I'd say the biggest difference is that you're thinking more along the lines of the long game, like Josh was talking about earlier tonight in the call. There's not a rush, because you know that you're going to have other opportunities to see them. So you can just kind of play around with that, like see it as a fun thing. Like you're still in control. You're still in control of how quickly that interaction goes from you know, attraction to seduction and how deeply the rapport gets built, and you're still in control. It's just, you know, you can stretch it out a little longer, and that might help to kind of not set off as many alarms that might happen when she's like, if she's visibly in the same proximity as her friends, her social circle, then she's going to have a lot of like interest, you know, different psychological things going on. Like you were talking about earlier, Josh, the consistency of her friends knowing her as a type of girl or a type of person, you know, she might not want her friends to see her change from the type of girl who, you know, doesn't just go off with a guy and make out with him in the corner to suddenly she is, you know, so she might have, that might be affecting her decisions in that moment. So you can kind of be aware of that.
It almost definitely is affecting her decisions.
Yeah. So I'd say that the biggest thing to remember with social circle is that you have time to play around. You have time to like, just go about the system, you know, at a slower pace if you'd like to.
Right. Another thing that, and you, if he's asking specifically about energy level in this case, one thing that I would say that's different about energy level when you're talking about social circle interaction instead of like meeting new women for the first time, you're sort of entering into your friend area, is that there's a lot more leniency. Like you have a lot more flexibility in your social circle with your energy level. If you come in being a little bit high energy and you already know everybody, they're going to be like, what's up, man? They're not going to be like, whoa, this guy's weird or anything. They're going to be like, hey, what's up? Are you having a good day or something? You know, and you can actually change the energy level of the group a lot easier. So if you come in at a higher energy, it's actually likely that you're going to raise everyone else's energy up, right? And that's mm-hmm. important. If you come into a group that you're not a part of yet and you come in at a little bit higher or lower energy, you won't change the group's dynamic. You'll just bounce, you'll ricochet right off and you won't even make it in, you know? So that's the major difference there. Between that. And yes, for sure, it's a longer game because you're not essentially in a rush, you know. You've got it's the long con, you know. you're going to be entering into this this social group, integrating with it, and then eventually turning people over to attraction and attracting them. But I would keep in mind, though, if you're entering into a social circle and you are doing the long game here, that make sure you have either, if you don't have one person in mind, like that you really, really want, and she better fucking be worth it. Like she better be the one, you know, if you're doing all this work to get her to do this, because you could just hook up with her otherwise. If you're not doing that, then you better be using some of the key components of polyamory and really taking your time to build a polyamorous lifestyle before you get in there. Because what will happen is other women will be attracted to you in the social circle. And the girl that you want may not date you because she doesn't want to step on any of her friend's toes. This is really, really bad, and it will backfire in your face if you don't watch out. So keep that in mind, and we'll have more on polyamory coming soon. So keep your eyes out for that. Brad, do you want to get the last question here?
Yep. Isn't it weird to face a girl you already know or a friend's friend only with your head and not give full positive body language? That's kind of like probably more of a specific situation. But I would say start testing, you know, like try to use negative body language anytime you talk to anybody. Like if you're having a chat with someone, you know, at work or friends, family, whatever, just see generally what the effect of negative body language has on people. Because I find that typically if I have a good rapport with somebody already and I start to sort of strategically use negative body language in a conversation, what usually just happens is if they already like you, they're just going to follow you. I mean, really blatantly, they're going to like if you slightly turn and start talking in another direction and you're having a good conversation with you, they will like basically run around you and stand in front of you
mm-hmm.
because that's the power that you're seeing from negative body language. So I think it's actually a good thing to sort of experiment with negative body language in a non-attraction setting, you know, to do it with people that you're not trying to hook up with, just friends, and just so that you can see how powerful it is, just so you can see the effect that it has generally, and then know that next time you go out, that's the caliber of the weapon you're working with, you know, like it's that powerful that it will affect even your friends. They will literally move to stand in front of you to keep talking, so because they want to, you know, feel that the good feeling that positive body language gives. So
yeah, and let's take you know, an interaction here specifically. Let's say that you are friends with the girl already. If you're not trying to attract her, then there's really no reason to give her negative body language. You know, if you're I totally agree with what Brad's saying. On the other hand, like if you're practicing and you want to get used to this feeling, I mean, you have to use as much as possible to really get a good feeling as to how it works, because it is one of the most, if not the most powerful attraction technique out there, is to use negative body language, and it works subconsciously and very, very well and very, very quickly. So you want to make sure that you use it as much as possible. Now, if you are not trying to attract a girl, yeah, you don't need to give her negative body language. You can give her full positive body language, and you can watch before your very eyes as she is not attracted. You know, she will not be attracted, and that's okay. You know, if you're already friends with her, that's cool. Don't give her any negative body language then. That's not a big deal. If you want to stay friends, awesome. You know, the real question is like, so you say if it's a friend's friend or something, you know, do you want to attract her? If you do, if the answer is yes, then negative body language. If the answer is no, then positive body language. That's basically it. You know, if you're in rapport though, in that moment, if you're physically in rapport, like, you know, you are talking about deep shit that means a lot to you, expressing your emotions, that kind of thing, don't give negative body language. That's it. But other than that, yeah, why not? Just have a good time. You know, like I would say, is it weird to face a girl you are? Is it weird to only face someone with your head that you already know? Yeah, it is. If they're just your friend and that's all you want them to be, that's very weird. But if you want them to be more than that, that's not weird at all. That's attraction, and that will create attraction. So keep that in mind. And that's a great question, though. It's a really, really good distinction, so I'm glad you brought that up. Brad, do you have anything to add at all?
I think that's good.
You could have said something there. You could have said something like flark or...
Flark.
Flark. That's pretty important. Get out of that. Cool. So
I mostly just have to go to the bathroom, so...
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let Brad go to the bathroom then. Thank you guys very much for being on the call. Any more questions at all, go ahead and post them up in the next Founding Members Club call, which will be in a week from today, I think. Yes, it is. It's going to be next Thursday. Actually, no, it's going to be the 15th. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. The 15th. I'm going to go ahead and put that in there. So if you guys can be on that call on the 15th, then we'll also have another one on the 22nd. We'll see you there. And we'll be diving a lot deeper into one of my favorite topics, which is going to be how to keep her from dropping state. Keep her from dropping state, and how to keep yourself from dropping state as well. I'll talk a lot more about what that is later, and we'll let Brad go to the bathroom now. Awesome. All right, guys, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Cool.
And go rock it and be badasses.
Thanks, guys.